Mr. Dawson is going to come up and sing for us. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Let's go ahead and stand once you find your spot if you're able this morning. I'd appreciate that. Matthew 16, and we're going to start reading in verse 13. And we're going to read down to verse number 18. Matthew 16, 13. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one right in front of you that you could look at today. Matthew 16 and verse 13. And everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, start reading with me, starting in verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And we're going to stop right there. We find Jesus here asking the question to his disciples as to who the people say that he is. They give their answers about one of the prophets, Jeremiah, and John the Baptist, and others. And then he pointedly turns to them. He says, "But who do you say that I am? Or whom say ye that I am?" In other words, each and every one of you disciples that I'm talking to, who do you say that I am? And that's a good question to ask yourself. Who do you say Jesus is? Oh, he's a prophet. He's just another John the Baptist. He's a good man. Amen. Anything short of the Son of God is a wrong answer. Amen. And Peter answers correctly. And he says, "Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah," so to speak. And he says, "the Son of the living God." So he didn't just say, "You're the Christ, the anointed one." He said, "You're the Son of the living God, not a dead God." Amen. A lot of gods out there, but there's only one living God. Amen. And after Peter gave that answer, Jesus let him know that the revelation that he had was from God. And Jesus was going to build his church on that statement or that revelation that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, the church would be built on Jesus Christ and not on Peter. And I know the Pope's in town, amen, and praise God for him, amen. But the church is not built on the Pope. It's not built on Peter. It's built on Jesus Christ. He is the rock, amen. And so Jesus would build his church on the foundation of who he was or his name. The church, what is the church? The church is the called out body of believers worldwide separated by the gospel of Jesus Christ and called to be a witness for Jesus. It's not the physical building, it's the people that Jesus has saved. That, my friend, is the church. Today, Jesus is still building his church universally and here at Shining Light as well. The topic of the message I want to draw your attention to today is titled, "What Should We See as Christ is Building His Church?" If Christ is building his church and he's still building his church and the New Testament age is upon us and the Old Testament age and the time of the Jews has been put on hold for right now, if he is building his church and there's something that we should be able to see if he's building his church. What's the tangible evidence we can see locally right here at Shining Light Baptist Church as Jesus is building his church? By the way, God is interested more in believers than in buildings. The building can come, the buildings can go, but it's the believers that Jesus Christ is interested in. And so as we're celebrating our 14th year of existence as a church, I want us to see that Jesus is building his church, and we should be able to see tangible evidence right here at Shining Light Baptist Church. We're going to look at some things that are very familiar to most of us, because if we're going to do this, it's going to be biblical, it's going to be Bible. But there ought to be some things that we can look at a Bible and see if Jesus is building his church. By the way, Jesus built the first church. He's the foundation of it. He called out the disciples, and you look at the type of disciples that he called out. One was a devil, Judas Iscariot. One was a loudmouth, Peter. James and John, sons of thunder, were prideful, and the rest didn't do a whole lot at all. That's the typical church. And Jesus is building his church today. The question you have to ask yourself is, if Jesus is building his church, what part do I play in this building? What block am I? What stone am I in this building? What am I doing for Christ's sake? Because he said, I will build my church. God uses men, women, boys, and girls to build. You and I are the building. How is this going to happen? I want us to look at that today. Father, bless now. This message today, Jesus, you said you would build your church. And Lord, we know that you are building it right now. And I pray that as we look at the Word of God today, that, Lord, our hearts might be arrested to the fact that you're building it right here. We know you're building it universally, and all around the world, believers are being called out every day. Lord, we want to see that evidence here at Shining Light. What are you doing with us, and what are you doing here at Shining Light? What can we see as tangible evidence of you working at Shining Light Baptist Church? And as we look at the scriptures today, God, may we see your hand of mercy upon us. May we see your hand of mercy upon this ministry. May we see your grace that still amazes us in the way that you save men, women, boys, and girls, and from all backgrounds, from all races and all creeds and all colors, and you mold us and blend us together under the name of Jesus Christ to serve a risen Savior. And Lord, I pray for everyone that is here today, for believers that have been called out already. Lord, for those that you want to call out today and continue building your church here at Shining Light. And I'm assured, Lord, that there is one man, one woman, one boy or girl today whom you are calling to become a part of this church, this building, what you're doing. Lord, I pray that they would be conscious of that fact. They would be aware of how you want to use them. They would surrender to that call today, the call to be born again. Lord, you said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Lord, it's all about you today. That's why we're here. You said you would build your church. And you said the great gates of hell would not prevail against it. So as we look at that subject matter today, may you get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Thank you for the 14 years you've given us. Lord, your grace is what we need. Your grace is what saves us. Your mercy is what forgives us. Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses us. And help us today recognize the great price that was paid, the cross of Calvary, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now we can go forward as a result of that. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Now may you get all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson is going to come with a special. Oh, there she is. Mrs. Dawson, appreciate that. Blessed message and song. God's grace still amazes me as well, you know. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'm amazed that God would smile upon me and save me out of all the people in the world. Why me? Amen. Now, I know me. I wouldn't have saved me. Amen. I'm from Joliet. Amen. I know where the prison's at. Amen. I wouldn't have saved me. There's a whole lot of other people of higher caliber and quality people that he could have saved, and instead of saving me and passed me by, old gentle Savior, as they say. Amen. But I'm so glad he did save me. I'm so glad he looked back beyond my past, and I'm so glad he looked beyond all the baggage that I had, and still he wanted to save me. Amen. By the way, he wanted to save you too. He looked past everybody else to get to you, amen, and saved you at that precise moment, amen. And he saved you by his grace, and I'm so glad that he did. I'm glad you're here with me today, amen. And I'm going to start something today that I am not going to finish today, so if you want to get the finishing touches of that, you will have to come back next week, amen. And hopefully we'll get a chance to finish that probably next Sunday night. As we look at what should we see as Christ is building his church, and what we talk about today is going to be very familiar to most of us, amen, and it's not going to be any secret. I'm not preaching anything brand new. It's old hat, but there is something that we should see as Christ is building his church. And you and I should be able to see this tangible evidence around us today. And by the way, as we are looking at 14 years that God has given us, God has been truly amazingly good to us. This building was bought and paid for, given to us by someone, amen? Someone that I don't know and someone that you don't know. They smiled upon us and gave us $495,000 to purchase this church building and then money to renovate this building. And so God moved us from a storefront to this building. What a blessing. Amen. Hey, so God's been good to us. He saved many of you right here through this ministry. If you've been saved at this ministry, raise your hand. You came to look at that. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. I would say over 50% of us have been saved right here. Amen. You may put them down. God's been good to us. And you say, preacher, how did he do that? Amen. By building his church. By building his church. Amen. Look with me again at Matthew 16. And just want to point out some things. Peter and the other disciples are here in verses 13 through 14. And they tell you who they think he is in verse 14. And Simon Peter comes back and says, you're the Christ. the Son of the Living God. Of course, Jesus comes back in verse 17 and says, "Blessed art thou, Simon bar Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." He says, you know what? This insight that you have, this divine revelation that you have, is not through human influence, Peter, Simon Peter. You are the son of Simon bar Jonah. You're Simon, Jonah's son, and I'm the Son of God. I understand that. He says, "I say thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of your revelation, that you said, I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church." Notice this. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He said, you know what? I don't care what hell tries to do. It cannot prevail. It cannot overcome. It cannot overturn what I'm doing. By the way, if you're on your way to heaven, if you're born again today, if you're saved, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you're on the winning side. Amen. Because the Bible says that the gates of hell should not prevail against. In other words, the church, the body of believers, is on the offensive. We are charging. We're going forward. Hell is at a standstill. Amen. Why is hell at a standstill? Because it ain't going nowhere. It's staying in one spot. Amen. But the body of believers, the Christians, the church is on the move. And it says the gates of hell, not going to prevail. Can't stand against it. Why? How is the devil going to stand against God? You say, "Well, I don't believe in the devil." That's all right. He believes in you. Amen. And he'll see you one day if you don't get saved. And he'll say, "You didn't believe me, did you? I knew where I was going all along. You just didn't know where you were going, but now you're with me in hell." You know, that's why the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God loves us enough. He says, "I don't want you in hell." Amen. I want you with me in heaven. And so as you look at the gates of hell not prevailing against it, he says, you know, "Peter, I'm going to give unto you the keys of the kingdom," there in verse 19, "the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And we're going to look at Peter using those keys today. Say, "Preacher, what are those keys?" Languages. The ability to unlock the door of people's hearts by speaking to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he did that, the church began to blossom and bloom, because Jesus said, "You know what? I'm building the first church by calling you 12 out. I know who you are. I know one of you is a devil. I know one of you is a loudmouth. I know two of you are very prideful. I know the rest of you ain't going to do a whole lot. But guess what? I'm going to build my church on the fact that you guys are going to be utilized for me. It's going to be my name." By the way, this church is built on the name of Jesus Christ. Built on the name of Jesus Christ. You say, "But it's called Shining Light Baptist." It can be called anything it wants to, but guess what? It's Christ's church. This is his church. Say, "Preacher, how can it be Christ's church?" Because he saved every one of you. Every one of you that's saved, he saved you. And so I didn't save you. So you're not mine. If Jesus saved you, amen, you're his. And so his name is on this church, because the church is the body of believers, not the building. The building can burn down, and guess what? We can go next door somewhere. Amen. We can get another building, but I can't get another one of you. That's it, Pastor, you can. Amen. And so Jesus makes this statement to the apostles, and we're going to find out what it is about this building process that Jesus is doing and what it takes. Amen. I'm so glad we can go to the Bible and see what the early church did to know what we should be doing. Nothing like Bible examples, because the same 12 that he is talking to now in Acts chapter number 1 are going to show up again, yep. Minus one. Guess who's not there? The devil. Judas Iscariot, the devil, went to his own place. And so let's fast forward to the book of Acts. Amen. The book of Acts, because Jesus, "I'm going to build my church." Let's see how Jesus is building this church and what we should see as Christ is building this church. And you find here the disciples, after the death, after the burial, and after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you find Jesus here talking to the disciples again. He's already gone to the cross. That's a done deal. And now it's time for this group of believers to get on the move. Amen. And make sure that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Notice what it says down here in verse number 4 of chapter number 1. "Being assembled together with them, commanded them," this is Jesus, "that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." By the way, John did baptize them to repentance, but guess what? They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They needed that. And he said, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Verse number 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They said, no, wait a minute, Lord Jesus. Now, in the prophets all said that Israel, we're going to be somebody. We're going to be a nation. There's going to be a time when you're going to be ruling and reigning, and Jerusalem is going to be the center of worship, and we're going to be ruling and reigning with you. Hey, is it that time? By the way, that time is coming. If you know your Bibles, that time is coming. You look at the state of affairs now. You look at the state of the nations now. You look at the state of the world right now. That time is approaching. We're being conditioned to receive the mark of the beast. We're being conditioned to receive the rule of the Antichrist. We're being conditioned right now to receive all sorts of immorality and all sorts of foolishness right now. We're being conditioned, and that time is coming. The church, the body of believers, is going to be snatched out. They're going to be raptured. The Antichrist is going to move right on in. He's going to take care of a whole bunch of things because there's going to be a world of lawlessness. Yes. What does that mean? There's going to be no laws against anything because everything's going to be okay to do. Right. And he's going to come in, he's going to take over, and it's going to usher in 7 years of tribulation in which Israel will be the point of attention and attack. And at the end of the 7 years tribulation, guess what? Jesus is going to come back from heaven on the white horse, amen. He's going to rule and reign after he destroys all his enemies. And guess what? All the saved are coming with him. Amen. And at that time, he's going to establish his kingdom at Jerusalem. But that time is not now. And so they asked a good question about the time. And Jesus said, you know, that's a future time. That's not the time right now. He says in verse number 7, he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power and that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus said, you know what? There is some power. That power that's in God's hands is not now. But the power that you're going to get is going to come upon you. And you're going to be witnesses. So in other words, what Jesus is saying, you're going to get some power. You're going to get Holy Ghost power. And when you get that power, your job is to be a witness. Amen. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts. In other words, he's saying, I'm building my church, and I'm going to use you 11 to build that church, and I'm going to use you 11 to get this thing started. I'm going to use you 11 to make sure the gospel gets out. I'm going to use you to do it. I want you to notice, first of all, what should we see as Christ is building his church? First thing that we should see is the unending power of the Spirit of God. The unending power of the Spirit of God. Down there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. By the way, the Holy Spirit had come upon them before to do a job. But it wasn't to indwell them permanently. Now he's going to indwell them permanently. He's going to seal them forever. Takes a man, woman, boy, or girl full of the Holy Spirit of God to do what the God of heaven wants them to do. By the way, this church could not be started by anybody that did not have the Holy Spirit. It had to have the Holy Spirit filling them, had to have the Holy Spirit controlling them. So this church, as it began to be built by the Lord Jesus Christ, took the unending power of the Spirit of God. Say, preacher, how can we see that? I'm glad you asked. Go to chapter number 2 and verse number 4. The disciples were all there at the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, according to verse number 1. And they said there was a sound as of a mighty rushing wind there in verse number 2. And it filled the house. And it said down in verse number 3, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat on each one of them. Now, by the way, it wasn't fire. It said it was like fire. Folks said, well, when you got the Holy Spirit, did fire come on your head? No, neither did it come on their heads either. It said it was like fire. Amen, it said it was like fire. By the way, fire on your head will burn you up.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it's God's divine fire, like he had in the burning bush with Moses. The bush burned, but it wasn't on fire. Yeah. Amen. But notice what happens in verse 4. And they were all, what's that word? Filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What's going on? He's going to give them the ability or the keys to unlock the gospel to people that did not have it by giving them the supernatural ability to speak in their language. Now, I'm not of one of these that says, well, you know, all this, you got to speak in tongues to be saved. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you must be born again to be saved. Amen. Amen. And so the tongues that were used here are languages. We're not going to spend a bunch of time on that. That's for another study and another time and another day. Amen. But we do know that it takes a man, woman, boy, or girl full of the Holy Spirit to do God's bidding. The disciples here are being filled by the Holy Ghost and permanently indwelt from this point on. And so are we that are saved today. And God uses the unending power of the Spirit to build his church. Amen. By the way, my friend, if you don't have the Spirit, the Bible says you're none of his.
That's right.
Amen. It takes the unending power of the Spirit to win souls for the building of Christ's church. We should see the power of the Spirit working. Notice what happens when they are filled. Come down here to verse number 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man, notice this, heard them speak in his own what? Language. What's going on? You had this group of disciples there and they got filled with the Spirit of God. They began to preach and they heard every person in his own language. So if you were speaking Spanish, you heard Spanish. If you were speaking Greek, you heard Greek. If you were speaking Italian, you heard Italian. If you were speaking German, you heard German. Whatever it is that they spoke, they heard their language. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, keep reading with me. Verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Galileans don't speak like this. And how hear we every man in our own tongue or language when we were born? Then he lists the languages, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and in Pontus and in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. Notice this. We do hear them speak in our what? Tongues or languages. What the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in a doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? They said, now we hear you speaking. What in the world does this mean? This means that God's trying to build his church. And he's given Peter the keys or the ability to unlock the door of their language to speak to them and touch their hearts. Why? It takes the unending power of the Holy Spirit to build God's church. And the unending power of the Spirit is being utilized here by these apostles. Something else that we should be able to tangibly see. By the way, you see the Spirit working in believers by their surrender to do the will of God. Whether it's to get baptized, whether it's to join the church, whether it's to teach a class, whether it's to drive a van, whether it's to preach the gospel. You see that happening only by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
By the way, it's the unending Spirit's power that we need. Anything that you and I do in the flesh is going to get burnt up. Amen. There's going to be a lot of burnt up stuff in the days to come. So it takes the unending power of the Spirit as Jesus is building his church. What else should we be able to see? We should also see, as Christ is building his church, the unchanging preaching of the Scriptures. Nothing else will work but the unchanging preaching of the Scriptures coupled with the unending power of the Spirit. They go hand in hand. The Spirit of God empowers us, and then we use the precious Word of God to preach his Word. And by the way, when you put the two together, the Spirit's power working in us, and then God's Word being preached, guess what? That's what God uses to build his church. Amen. The unending power of the Spirit coupled with the unchanging preaching of the Scriptures. We can try our arguments. We can try our words of wisdom. We can be whimsical in our sayings, but we can never do anything because God never promised to bless anything but his Word. Amen. So I can give you a song and a dance. I can give you a poem. But guess what? It's not going to save you. Why? It takes the Word of God. It takes the Word of God. The unchanging preaching of the Scriptures. Preacher, what are you talking about? Come down with me. Because when you come down to verse number 12, we left off, they ask, what does this mean? And others in verse 13 said, these guys are full of new wine. They're mocking. But in verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. These are not drunken, as you suppose, and it's but the third hour of the day. In other words, it's about 9 o'clock in the morning, although some people are drunk by about 9 o'clock in the morning. Amen. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What is he doing? He's about to preach the unchangeable scriptures to them. Let them know, hey, Joel talked about this a long time ago. Let me tell you something, friend. It is the Spirit's power coupled with the scriptures that's going to save somebody. It's going to change somebody's life. That's what Peter's about to do now. Notice what he says down in verse number 21. Ye men of Israel, And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He says, let me tell you something, Jerusalem. Let me tell you something, Jews. Let me tell you something, wherever you're from. God already knew beforehand there was going to be a man named Jesus Christ. God Almighty is going to come down and take on the form of a flesh, born of a virgin. My friend, he was going to be crucified and slain by your wicked hands. And God was going to let that happen. By the way, my friend, that is the gospel. The death of Jesus Christ for you. The burial of Jesus Christ for you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, again, for you. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. What is Jesus doing? He's building his church. What is he doing it with? The unending power of the Spirit, by the unchanging preaching of the Scriptures. And he's doing that with Peter here preaching, unlocking the kingdom. Notice verse 24, whom God raised up from where? From the dead. Having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now, how is death going to hold God? Death can't hold God. And Jesus was God. He still is. And will always be.
Amen.
He says, David speaketh concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Now, what is he doing? He's still preaching Scriptures to them. Still the unchanging preaching of the Scriptures. And it takes this unchanging preaching of the Scriptures to win souls for the building of Christ's church. And we should see that in this process. Come down to verse number 26, therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. And he's using some Old Testament scriptures here, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Notice verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. He said, David wrote this a long time ago. But let me tell you something. David's dead. But you know what? David didn't write this about himself. He wrote it about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus was going to come and die for the sins of the world and be buried and rose again. What am I saying? It takes the unchanging preaching of Scripture. By the way, if you don't believe the gospel, you can't be saved. Amen. And he's letting them know that. Why? There's a group of Jews here that want to know what's going on. Notice what he says down there. Therefore, verse 30, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. By the way, David already knew that God was going to give Solomon and all of his lineage the opportunity to sit on the throne of David. And guess what? Fast forward that thousands of years, and guess who you find? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Christ, the living God. And that's the one he's talking about. He said, David already foresaw that. David already knew that Jesus was going to be born. He's going to come from my lineage. Why? He had to, because God promised. By the way, God can't lie. What does he go on to say? Come down to verse number 31. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, David he's talking about, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of who? The Holy Ghost, he has shed forth with this which ye now see and hear. What is he talking about? The speaking of the tongues. He said, the speaking of the tongues was to get your attention, to give you the gospel, to unlock your heart with this process, to give you the gospel that Jesus Christ was going to be crucified for you, buried and risen again, because David already talked about it. Y'all with me? What am I saying? It took the unending power of the Spirit. Holy Spirit filled men to preach the unchanging scriptures to a group of people to get them to believe the gospel. I couldn't convince you if I wanted to. If I don't give you the word of God, you have nothing to stand on, but my word, and my word can do nothing for you. But guess what? If I open up this book with the unending power of the Spirit and preach the unchanging scriptures, guess what? It'll transform your life. What do you think happened to the Reyes family? God transformed their life. What am I saying? If God is building his church, we should see the unending power of the Spirit being manifested in our midst. When the unchanging scriptures are preached, we should see something happen. Am I right?
Amen.
We should see something happen. Why? God said it would. By the way, all the hands that went up in here, that's how it happened. Say, preacher, what happened? I'm glad you asked. Notice what it says. He said, you now see and hear it in the end of verse 33. For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. Some of y'all read that in your reading here just a couple days ago, or today. Therefore, notice this, verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. He said, you know what? The same man that you crucified here several days ago, this same Jesus, he made him Lord and Christ. He's the anointed sovereign of your life. And guess what? He will be the anointed sovereign of your life today, or he will be the anointed judge of your life today. Amen. 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 Preacher, I thought this was supposed to be happy times. This is happy times. Amen. Because he's not going to be my judge. He's my anointed Lord and Savior. Amen. It's happy for me, but if you're not, guess what? You're in danger. You're in danger. And God sent me to have the unending power of the Spirit to preach the unchanging scriptures for your benefit that you can make a decision for Christ before you die. Amen. And you're either going to get saved or you're going to be lost. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave. God commended his love toward us, and while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. What am I saying? God loved you and me so much that he gave Jesus Christ years ago. And he manifested that through the Spirit's power and the Scripture's preaching so they can be saved. Say, preacher, where's this evidence at then? Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Several things here that should happen. When the unchanging preaching of the Scriptures is combined with the unending power of the Spirit, several things should happen as Christ is building his church. This is his way. It says, by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased him to save those that are lost. Some folks will think it's absolutely foolish. But there's a handful of Jews over here that don't think it's so foolish. What should happen? First of all, some conviction should set in. Notice verse 37. Now, when they heard this, what? That they crucified the Lord Jesus. He was still going to be their Lord and their Christ, or he's going to be their Lord and their judge. And he's still going to be the anointed. I don't care which way it goes. Amen. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. What happened? Conviction. The Spirit of God combined with the Scriptures of God convicts and convinces people of their need for Christ. They should become uncomfortable in their present condition of sin and see hope in Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, February 3rd, 1991, I came in that church, a wretched old dirty sinner from Joliet, Illinois. I sat there and I heard the unchanging Scriptures combined with the Spirit of God by a man that never knew me, never saw me, and he talked about my whole life in one sermon. And I thought, how in the world could you, a man, sit there and say so much about me and you don't even know me? The unending power of the Spirit. By the unchanging Scriptures power. Combined to get that old sinner like me uncomfortable in his position. You know, Pastor White and I, we hear it all the time. Well, I want to find a church that's comfortable for me. Lazy boys are being comfortable. Church is not. Church is a place to stir you up, to get you out there to do something for God. Why? He's building his church to go and get people saved. Hey, you think this group of disciples there, they were comfortable with fire on their heads? No, it got them stirred up. It got them saying, hey, I got to tell somebody. I got to get sparked up. I got to go and let somebody know. They heard him say, what means this? He said, this is what it means. Jesus of Nazareth, you crucified him. He was slain for you. You put him on the tree. But guess what? God raised him back up. I got to do something. It's not time for lazy boy. Conviction set in. They were uncomfortable in their present condition of sin, and they saw hope in Jesus Christ. Saved people need to be uncomfortable too. Can I get an amen? Amen. Saved people don't come to church to be comfortable. You come to church to get instructed on what to do. Amen. Amen. Now, if the pews happen to be comfortable, praise God. Amen. But guess what? You didn't come to get comfortable. You came to get convicted. Amen. What is that? Convinced of what God wants you to do. By the way, if he's building his church, he's going to use you and I to do it. Amen. Hey, is he not using these 11 right now? Yes, he is. How's he doing it? The unending power of the Spirit, with the unchanging scriptures, put them together, and it's bringing forth some conviction. What else is it bringing forth? Some confession. Then when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? It brought some conviction, but then it brought some confession. Once convicted and convinced that one was in danger of hell, their sins, the obvious answer is, what should we do? Now, I don't know about you, but February 3rd, 1991, when I got saved, I kind of held my wife's hand thinking, what shall we do? She kind of held my hand as if to say, what shall we do? And I thought, well, if we go up there, everybody's going to call us a sinner, so we ain't going up there. So that's one thing we ain't going to do. We'll wait till all the people leave. And then we'll go talk to the preacher in secret, being like Nicodemus, come by night. If it takes till midnight till everybody goes home, we're going to stay here until we get an answer. Why? We were under conviction. What shall we do? Confession. We need to do something. My heart's bleeding. My heart's burdened. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm bound for hell. I know I'm not right with God. I don't want to meet him on judgment day. I've already crashed a car. I've already ruined my life. I've already been an alcoholic. I've already done all the drugs I can do. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm all those things, and I'm in danger.
Yes, sir.
Conviction. Confession made me ask, what shall I do? And my wife and I said, well, you know, we go tonight, everybody can call us wicked. So we're not going to go down there in front of everybody. And y'all know the story. The Christians wouldn't go home. They sat around and talked. And looked at us like, it's, you know, what y'all going to do? I'm like, what y'all going to do? Y'all need to go home. That's what y'all need to do. All y'all Christians just need to go home so we can get along with the pastor. You know, so church is over. Bye. Go on out the door. Bye. 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 And they didn't leave. I took my wife by the hand. I thought, we're going to go up there and talk to that preacher. You know, bus for all these folk here. And so we turned our back on the people. I want y'all to see, we went up to the preacher. Now, you know, everybody in the church knew what we was asking him. Everybody in the church knew that we was asking him, how can you be saved? How can you be sure? We're under conviction. We're confessing. What shall we do? Why? Because people was praying that we would do it. And guess what? We went up there. We talked to the preacher. He got somebody to lead me to the Lord. He got somebody to lead my wife to the Lord. Why? We were got convicted. We confessed. What shall we do? What am I saying? The unending power of the Spirit, coupled with the unchanging preaching of the Scriptures, brought some conviction. It brought some confession. They were obviously under conviction about what happened because they confessed, what should we do? They had an awareness that they had sinned against God and it was apparent that they needed to do something. But notice what else happens here, not just some conviction and some confession. When the unchanging preaching of the Scriptures are coupled with the unending power of the Spirit, some correction came. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Preacher, see, now I've already repented and got baptized already. Stop. Folks want to make an easy believism out of this. Well, see, I repented. Yeah, you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? Yeah, yeah. Okay, you believe you're a sinner? Yeah, okay. You can get baptized. Okay, I'm baptized. And they think that baptism saves them. Now, friend, baptism doesn't save you. Notice what it says. It says, then Peter said, repent, or confess that Christ is Lord, turn from your sin, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice this, for the remission of sin, or because your sins have been remitted. Amen. I give the illustration all the time. A cop pulls you over for speeding. He gives you a ticket for speeding. Does he give you a ticket to speed or because you already sped? Because you already sped. Doctors give you medicine for your cold. They give you medicine to get a cold or because you already have a cold? You already got a cold. He said, for the remission of sins, because your sins have already been remitted, you ought to get baptized. Amen. Don't get that wrong. Folks say, well, see, you got to get baptism saved. Baptism never saved a duck. So how's it going to save you? They ask, what shall we do? The apostle didn't say, do the best you can. Didn't say, keep the commandments. He didn't say, join the church. Didn't say, turn over a new leaf. He said, repent, turn, understand who Jesus Christ is. Change your mind. Change your heart about Jesus Christ. Change directions. Amen. Follow him. Then identify with him in baptism to show that you've been born again, not to get born again. Amen. A lot of people get that wrong.
Right, what am I saying? If Jesus is building his church, it's going to take the unending power of the Spirit coupled with the unchanging scriptures. And when the scriptures meet up with the Spirit and they're preached to men, women, boys, and girls, conviction sets in. People get uncomfortable. They confess. What shall they do? They get corrected. Amen. Repent and be baptized. And baptism mentally buries the old man and shows you I want to identify with Christ. And the new man also makes you a body, a believer, a member of this local body here. So what did we see? Conversion. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. By the way, they're not saved yet. Right now, they're just under conviction. Right now, they just confess, what should we do? Right now, they've just been corrected. Amen. They're not saved yet. Peter says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. He said, you know what? I'm preaching to you guys. God's given me the ability or the keys to unlock your language. You say, guess what? You're in a generation with people that are not going toward God. May I submit to you that everybody here, you're in the midst of a generation outside these walls that is not going towards God. And you've got to save yourselves from this untoward generation. Towards means I'm going this way. Untoward means I'm going this way or this way or this way. I'm going any way but that way. And guess what? That's where Jesus is. Peter said, you need to save yourself from this untoward generation. There's a generation that is not going towards God, and you happen to be in it because you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. You don't believe he's the Messiah. You don't believe he's the anointed one. You don't believe he died for your sins. You don't believe he buried you for your sins. You don't believe he was resurrected on the third day. You don't believe it, and you're going along with the whole generation that's going towards that direction. Wow. You mean to tell me February 3rd, 1991, when I got saved, that was me? Yes. You mean to say before you got saved, that was you? Yes. But guess what? God called us out of that untoward generation. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all remember that first, the 7-Up's first commercial? The Un-Cola. So in the nation of colas, now there's the Un-Cola. Now we take it and say, you're uncool. I'm going to unfriend you and all this other un-stuff. Amen. But guess what? Back in the days, everything was cola. He said, look, have the Un-Cola. He said, get away from the untoward generation. Guess what? If you're saved here, God building his church by calling you out of that untoward generation and putting you in the body of Christ, call the church. Amen. And that's what he's done here in the past 14 years. And that's what he's still doing. What should we see if God is still building his church? If Jesus is still building his church, we should see the unending power of the Spirit, coupled with the unchanging preaching of the scriptures. And when it's preached to men, women, boys, and girls, they fall into conviction. They start confessing. They get corrected. They get converted. Notice verse 41. That's what we should see in God's church if he's building it. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. What word was that? Repent. And why get baptized? To identify with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin, buried, but alive unto Christ, risen up again. He says, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people got saved out of that untoward generation. 3,000. What am I saying? If God is using the church, if the church is being built, and it's still being built, Jesus said, I will build my church. And he used Peter initially and the rest of the disciples. And he gave them the unending power of the Spirit. He filled them with the Spirit of God. And they preached the unchanging scriptures going all the way back to David and said, this is what you see. And they fell under that conviction and they got corrected and then they got converted. Does it stop there? No. By building the church, it doesn't stop there. Especially if I want those same people to reach somebody else, to bring in somebody else for the church. Something else follows. Not just the conviction and the confession and the correction and the conversion, but then notice something happens here. And by the way, agreement of their need to be baptized, to repent, led to the aggressiveness in following Jesus to be baptized. Continuation should follow conversion. Notice verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. In other words, Pastor White, they didn't depart. They stayed for the meal, they stayed for the dessert, and they stayed for the fellowship. Amen. They said, hey, apostles, if y'all gave us the gospel, if y'all got us saved with the word of God, with the Holy Spirit of God, we ain't going nowhere. We're staying right here. Thou only hast the words of life, as Peter said. He said, will ye also go away? Peter said, where are we going to go? Thou only hast the words of life. Where can I go? Well, if somebody gave you the gospel and you got saved, guess what? You ought to stick with that person. You got it here, guess where you ought to stay? Right here. Is that the example that we see? Yes, it is. And the church that Jesus is building, that's what should happen on a regular basis when the gospel goes out. The Spirit of God couples with the scriptures. People get convicted. They call it fallen confession. They get corrected. They get converted. And they continue with the message. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they are continuing how long? Daily. With what? One accord on the same tune, the same page in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What am I saying? If Jesus is building his church, we should see these things happen. And over the past 14 years, we've seen exactly that happen. We've seen the unending power of the Spirit, coupled with the unchanging preaching of the Scriptures, go out week after week after week after week. People fall under conviction. They confess, what must I do? What shall I do? And they're corrected and saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They get converted and then they get baptized and then they grow and they grow and they grow and they grow some more. People should get saved. They should get submerged in the baptismal waters. They should stay with the church and they should stay with the saints and they should study in the word. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Now, you say, preacher, well, that's just for you. No, that's just for people that get saved. If you don't get saved, you're still on your way to hell. And this matters not to you. And it means nothing to you. Notice only 3,000 got saved. I assure you there were more than 3,000 there. This was the day of Pentecost. Every Jew was there. Every Jew was there. Look at the nations represented that he gave. There was somebody from every part of the town, from the nations represented on that day. I assure you it was more than 3,000, but 3,000 got saved. Everybody's not going to believe that message. Only those that are convicted and confess, what shall I do? And the God will correct them and give them the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. At the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Because man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Why? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commended his love toward us. While we had sinners, Christ died for us. That thou shalt believe in thine heart, confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth on the righteousness, with the mouth confesses made unto salvation. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. What am I saying? God is still building his church. We see the evidence of it here over the past 14 years. He's not going to change his method. He's going to use his unending power of the Spirit because we have not power in us. He's going to use the unchanging scriptures. That message is going to go out whether you're standing at this pulpit or whether you're standing at someone's door, knocking on their door, whether you go to your jobs, whether you go to your schools, whether you go to the grocery stores, wherever you go, he's going to use the same method. The unending power of the Spirit with the unchanging scriptures when they're given out. And people get added to the church, the universal church. Then guess what? They should be brought into this local church to be baptized so they can grow. And what happens? According to the Bible, they stayed. They stayed. And we're going to see some other things next week that God is using and that we should see as he's building his church. But this is just the preliminaries. It's going to take the unending power of the Spirit to keep building this church. It's going to take the unchanging scriptures to build this church. We're not using some other method. I'm not going to try and wow you and say we're going to have a fellowship every Sunday with some food next door if you just come to church. No, because then somebody else will just steal you with a banquet. Well, a hot dog for every first time for a visitor we get. Then somebody else will get steaks and steal you away. But if I catch you with the gospel, guess what? They stayed. If I catch you with the preaching of the word of God and the power of the Spirit, guess what? You'll stay because it's not my power and it's not my preaching. It's the word of God. Amen. The word of God will keep you. Hey, over these past 14 years, what makes you think, why did Pastor White stay? The preaching of the word of God, the power of the Spirit. I don't have that much charisma in me to keep Pastor White around. I've got faults. I can be foolish at times. I'm not the most faithful person that there is. I got warts too. But guess what keeps him? The Spirit and the Scriptures. Hey, what keeps my wife here? The Scriptures and the Spirit. And she know I'm not going to pay her if she don't stay. No, I'm just joking. What keeps her here? The Spirit and the Scriptures. What's kept Miss White? What's kept all of us? The Scriptures and the Spirit. Folks, if you're staying for any other... Now, fellowship is sweet. I love fellowship. I love to be loved. You love... I love a lovely church. Praise God. But guess what? If this is not present, guess what? All that doesn't matter. This is what's going to keep people here. This is what's going to keep people right. Hey, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's going to keep me where I need to be. I can have all the love, but if I don't have the Word of God, guess what? I don't have anything. It's this book with the Spirit of God. Now, I don't know who here is saved today, but I know one thing. Peter used the Scriptures, and he took them all the way back to the Old Testament because they were Jews, and he knew they knew it. So we used the Scriptures this morning. Peter was filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God used him. The Spirit of God has used me this morning to give the Word of God. Now you're faced with a decision. Is God going to build his church with you or against you? He said the gates of hell should not prevail against it. So that lets you know that the gates of hell are trying to prevent it from happening. The gates of hell are trying to buck against it. The gates of hell see the advancing people getting saved, sees the numbers increasing of people getting saved and seeing more and more people getting saved. And they say, we don't like that gospel that aren't saved. I don't believe that gospel. Well, you don't have to believe it. God is not going to force you to believe. No more than I force Mrs. Dawson to marry me. I said, you're going to marry me because you love me, because I don't have no money. I'm from Joliet. That's where prisoners are at. I don't have a whole lot. I already told Pastor White, Pastor, I don't have the charisma. I don't have all that foofara, bald-headed, got no hair, short on hair, short on money, short on stature. Like, who's that, Nicodemus, Zacchaeus? I'm short on everything, wit, intellect, amen, but guess what? If you love me, this is what you're going to get. Amen. Hey, guess what? When it comes down to it, you're not going to be forced to get to heaven. You're going to get to heaven by your own free choice, your own free will. Everybody under the sound of Peter's voice that was pricked in their heart that said, what shall we do? And when Peter said, repent, turn, change your heart, change your mind, change your direction. And every one of those folks that got saved and got baptized and stayed with them, guess what? They were part of the church that Christ is building. And everyone that didn't stood a chance of going to hell if they didn't get saved. It's just a fact of the matter. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He said that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. My question to you today is, are you saved? February 3rd, 1991, my wife and I made a decision to get saved. And we did. Nobody twisted our arm. Nobody forced us. We saw we were on our way to hell. We were convicted of it. We were convinced of it. We were corrected to do something about it. And we got converted. And as a result, we stayed with that church. And we stayed with the teaching. And we stayed with the things of God. I don't know where you're at today, but God loves you today. And he wants you to be a part of his universal church. More than he wants you to be a part of his local church. Amen. He wants you to be saved. Once you're saved, he wants you to be baptized. That's the natural course of events that we saw. You got saved. You got baptized. Then he wants you to stay with that group. Stay with those saints. Study the Word of God so you can go and get somebody else just like yourself. Because there's somebody else out there just like you that needs you to share with them what you already know. What? That Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and we're looking around. Father, thank you for these 14 years you've given us. Thank you for the Scriptures. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Lord, as you're building your church, you're going to continue to use those two elements. the scriptures and the Spirit of God. Thank you for doing it these 14 years. And thank you for using servants filled with the Spirit of God, preaching the scriptures that will give out the Spirit, the Word of God. And Lord, help us today as the invitation goes out. I'm sure there's one today that needs to be saved. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would use this message and the scriptures to convict them, convince them, and convert them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed when looking around. I'm going to be honest to say, preacher, you know, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure I would go to heaven, but I sure would like you to pray for me. And right where you're at, I don't want you to get up or move, but you'd raise your hand and say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? And right where you're at, you'd raise your hand and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved today. If I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand so I can acknowledge that? I see one hand. Amen. You may put it down. Is there another? Amen. I see that hand. Then you may put it down. Is there another? You see, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I die right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me, preacher? Man, woman, boy, or girl, wherever you are, just raise your hand up. I'll acknowledge you. You can put it right back down. Anyone else? Join these two. I'm not sure I'm saved, and I want to be saved. I won't come to you. I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. But you've got to raise your hand to acknowledge that you're not saved. Have you been convicted? If you died today without Jesus Christ, are you going to heaven? It's not about being baptized. It's not about speaking in tongues. How about it? Father, you see these two hands. Lord, in a sermon like this, I'm sure there are others that have been convicted. Holy Spirit, you must convince them, though, that they will die and go to a place called hell to pay for their sins. Because the wages of sin is death. But God, because you so love the world, you gave your only begotten Son. That whoever it is that's here, they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved. They were asked, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Help these individuals to have enough courage, enough faith to step out and get saved. Lord, for anyone else that is hanging in the balance, help them as well. That needs to get saved to make that decision today. Holy Spirit, convict them, convince them, correct them, and then convert them. Then I pray they would go on for Jesus' sake. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. As the music plays, Brother Jeff is going to sing. Maybe today you need to step out or maybe you need to come forward for baptism. You've been saved, but you need to be baptized. Just like in this church, you need to step out. Why don't you come and come right down in front and say, preacher, I need to get baptized. Maybe you need to be saved today. Would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today. 14 years, God's been doing this at Shining Light. Maybe today you need to come. I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. I need to be baptized. Maybe you've been saved and baptized. You say, I need to join a good, independent, fundamental Bible preaching church. Maybe you need to talk to one of our deacons today. Talk to my assistant pastor and say, preacher, I want to join the church. Talk to one of us. We'll tell you exactly what you need to do to join this church. Maybe today you say, preacher, God's calling me to preach. God's calling me to be a missionary. I want to surrender on this day, this anniversary Sunday. What better day than for me to be taking the gospel to someone else with that unending Spirit's power, the unchanging scriptures. Maybe that's you. How about it? You need to be saved. You need to be baptized. You need to join this church, whatever it is, what you move. Maybe you need to be praying for what you need to do for Christ. As he's building his church, he's going to use you if you're saved. But are you usable today? Are you usable? I know. Coming home is the song. Coming home. With coming home. Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm coming. How about you today? What would God have you to do? 14 years he's been doing it. He's going to continue to do it till he comes. Lord, I'm the pastor of this church. The unending Spirit's power will be combined with the unchanging Scripture's ability to get people convicted of their sin. They might confess their sin. Receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Be converted and continue for the next 14 years of God's tearing. How about it? Christian, maybe somebody need to pray. more. Is God using you, Christian, with the unending power of the Spirit, the unchanging scriptures to get someone saved in your job, at your school perhaps, at your workplace, the community, a friend, a family, co-worker? Let God speak to your heart.
Lord, I'm coming home.
Father, we're so thankful for your goodness in our lives. Lord, thank you for the 14 years you've given us here. And Lord, we're not going to change anything. We're going to continue to preach the Bible, the Word of God. We're going to continue to count on the unending power of the Spirit. And we're going to continue to hold up the unchanging scriptures by preaching it. Lord, I pray that with the Scripture's power, the Spirit's power, we might continue to see conviction, confession, correction, conversion, and continuation. Lord, that more may come into the house of God. Lord, more importantly, into the family of God, first and foremost. Thank you for loving us, God, and I pray that you would use the time that you've given us here today. Lord, as we look at the video of what you've done here at Shining Light, over the past year, may it be a true inspiration to us to want to get involved and do more. And seeing souls saved, and seeing the gospel go out. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Mend hearts, mend minds, heal souls, heal hearts. But Lord, save sinners first and foremost before any of that can take place. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your concern for each and every one of us. Thank you for building your church. And thank you that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I use this time in Jesus' name. Amen.